Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, this is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today as we continue on in a message I began Monday on the blessings of stability. And basically, we're looking at the importance of that character trait in our lives, because there are many warnings against instability. And as an example, if you will, of instability, we were looking at the chapter 49, and at that point, Jacob was nearing his death, and he gathered his sons together and issued, if you will, spoke forth prophetic proclamations over them, which would indicate what their lives were going to be characterized by, as well as their offspring, the heritage that these fathers, if you will, of the 12 tribes of Israel were passing down to their children. Makes us, if you're a parent, it might cause you to consider very well your walk before the Lord. And of course, in that time, there were certain cultural ramifications. A firstborn was to inherit the father's estate, a double portion, and they were a child of great hope. They were the beginning of man's strength. And what Reuben did disqualified him for that position. Verse 4 of Genesis 49 says he was unstable as water. That was his first negative quality, which means that he couldn't be dependent on. He could hardly be a leader if he was vacillating back and forth. That's what unstable or instability means. That was number one. And two, thou shalt not excel. Thou wentest up to thy father's bed and defiled his couch. That was an appalling disregard of not only his father personally, but the fact that he was patriarch, and it was a tremendous disrespect to the calling, the anointing, the position that God had placed upon Jacob as the father of Israel, the nation of Israel. So as we look at this, we see that there are consequences when we do not walk in the integrity and in the privileges that we have as God's children, because basically Reuben, as the firstborn, should have been in a position of ruling authority. And as I shared yesterday, there was no judge, prophet, or prince that is found of that tribe in his line, those who followed him, his children and children's children. There is no one that is mentioned in Scripture except the rather infamous Dathan and Abiram, who were known for their rebellion against Moses and were destroyed. And as a tribe, they virtually disappeared during the period of the judges. Then we looked at Simeon and Levi, next in order, if you will. And they forfeited that honor because of their violence and anger. What did they do at the incidents of Shechem? They slew all the males in retribution, if you will, for the rape of their sister Dinah. And what Jacob said, "Oh, my soul, stay away from them. May I never be a party to their wicked plans. For in their anger, they murdered a man." They destroyed all the males, literally. They destroyed a town and maimed oxen just for fun. And so, just like Reuben, the tribe of Simeon was early overrun and dispersed as the history of Israel and God's people unfolded in the land of promise. So they sort of disappeared, and Levi obviously had to prove itself as a tribe before its priestly function was divulged. They were appointed to be priests, and there is a portion in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, verses 8 through 11. In this chapter 33, we see the blessings that Moses, verse 1, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And when he came to the tribe of Levi, verse 8, he said, "And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One," be with God, "whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and his mother, I have not seen him, neither did acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. And, verse 10, they shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law, and shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands, and smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again." So basically, this is a reference to the idolatry that occurred, and Levi as a tribe rose up and cited and extended the divine authority of Moses, if you will, that God had in the leadership that he had been endowed upon by the Lord. They slew their brethren after the incident of the golden calf. You remember Moses was up in the mount? He came down. The Lord told him, he says, your brethren have made them a golden calf. And unfortunately, Aaron was even part of it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, and the Lord was very angry with Aaron, but Moses interceded that he wasn't killed. Basically, the call was, who is on the Lord's side? And Levi rose up in anger and in retribution against those who had been guilty of idolatry. All right, so let's now go back to Genesis 49, and I want to read verses 8, because then the word of the Lord describes the blessings for Judah, starting at 8, verse 12. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children," that's his brothers, "shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter, the leadership, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come." That's a reference to Jesus. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Verse 11, "Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk." And that may be a little obscure for us today. Then he goes on discussing Zebulun. But in that next, Judah was next in age qualifications, if you will. He had already proved himself for Jacob to speak that way. He's describing Judah's characteristics. They are wonderful. Number one, he was like a lion in dignity and power. The fact that he would tie a foal to the vine, and wash his garments in wine, that is a hyperbole, a sort of obvious and great exaggeration. Those were ridiculously wasteful actions. To tie a foal to a vine, there's not much. They could easily break away, right? And to wash garments in wine, that would be totally extravagant. And so those were basically wasteful actions, but it refers to the opposite, the miraculous material prosperity that Judah would enjoy. And then to say the scepter and staff would not depart from him, that is a sign in that culture, in that age, of royal imperial authority. Those were emblems, the scepter and the staff. Remember Moses? God, he said, "What do you got in your hand?" "A staff." And it was turned into a serpent. Well, that's a sign of authority. And so Judah was given the right to rule even nations outside of Israel. And of course, this is definitely a prophetic reference to those of the line of Judah. And that would be David as well as Jesus Christ. So Let's now, so these were the important prophetic proclamations I wanted to share with you. So going back to Reuben now, he lost the blessings of the firstborn. His character, it just says he was unstable as water. So we can only conjecture. Scripture doesn't give us a lot of information or details except to say through his father Jacob, he was unstable as water. In other words, there's a reference there that he's unable to control his emotions. He's not fixed. He's not permanent. He's not established. He'll, whatever way the wind's blowing, and I think we can all relate to that, just give him time, and some people tend to change. They're unstable. And of course, the first reference regarding his character is mentioned in Genesis 35 and 22, when he lay to a great disgrace and dishonoring of his father Jacob with Jacob's concubine. Rachel couldn't have children, and so Bilhah was given to him. And obviously, for him to do that, he obviously lacked integrity and moral character. He did not have government over himself and his own appetites. You know, he had lust, and so he just went after Bilhah. And this is typical of a carnal Christian. How could they ever be in a position of authority? For example, let me give one final scripture before I bring this broadcast to a close. Proverbs 16:32, powerful passage. He that is slow to anger, someone who can control their emotions, is better beloved than the mighty. He that ruleth or governs his spirit is better than he that taketh a city. So even if you were a great warrior, could take a city, and a mighty warrior, if you will, a man of God, being used of God, if you're not able to control anger, if you're not able to rule over your own spirit, well, then you are disqualifying yourself for a position of leadership. However, that we all have leadership. If you're a father, if you're a mother, you're a leader for your family. And so these are stern warnings for us that we need to consider what God is saying to us through Scripture. Well, I've gone over my time. Until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.